All right. Welcome back to another episode of RCM Podcast. Remember, country music, the long word, but you know, RCM kind of flows better. And if you've been watching for the past, what would this be at? This is going to be somewhere in the 20s, but if you're watching somewhere, listening somewhere out there in the episode 20-ish or something like that, one, I thank you. That's really awesome. I never thought that, you know, I'd be able to put out this much content, and it's been really fun. But yeah, so here we are. So like always, I'm your host, Kyle Korbelus. Today, we got someone that I am so excited to talk to. Someone that I've been listening to his music for at the very least a year. Definitely more than that. But at the very least a year, we got James Tucker. Dude, how are you, man? How are you?
What is up? I'm happy to be here. I'm really, this is cool. This is one of my, I've only done a few podcasts, so this was really cool when you reached out. And I was, after checking your page out, I was like, wow, I'm honored that he would even know like where I'm at and what's up. And then when I saw the guys that you'd already talked to, which are a lot of definitely guys that I look up to, I was like, this is awesome. I definitely want to be on here if I can. So,
I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing is that, you know, I appreciate genuine songwriting, whether that be people who have been doing it for a while or whether that be people who are kind of just cutting their teeth. Right. So, yeah. That's super important for me. Like I just told you, like, I like to keep it genuine. So that's kind of where I'm going. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a little backstory. I like to say, and my friends like to say, that in the state of New Jersey, there may not be another person who loves country music as much as I do. It's just kind of how it is. My brother says it. I love it, and I'm okay with that. And I also will say that I put a lot of my friends on to different artists. But Drew, I'm going to shout you out here because Drew, my buddy Drew has been telling me for weeks. He says, "Can you reach out to James. Reach out to James. Get him on, please."
Drew, here's the man.
And I'm like, yeah. And like, obviously, you know, like, I don't want to schedule too much in 1 week. So I spaced it out and I waited a little bit. But I was like, I promise you, eventually I'm going to get James. So that's super cool that you're here. And about, it's got to be at least a year or something like that. So he texted me one day, and I usually tell my buddies, like I just said, that I say, you should listen to this person. They're going to be huge one day, right? But he came to me and said, I need you to listen to James Tucker. And I was like, okay. He's like, listen to this song. And he sends me Man I Am, right? So,
yes.
And we're going to break this down because I want to get into it really bad.
Dude, that's usually a lot of people ask that. So it's always
that
fun.
Is an unbelievable song. It is.
Well, thank you.
Quite literally, it's one of my favorite songs I think ever. It's definitely in that top 10 list there, because and I truly mean this, because there's just so much going on there. There's so much in that story. It's very wordy when it comes to, you know, you're just telling a story the whole way, and that is your story. That song is your story. There are some incredible lines in that song, and I just want to break it down. I want you to talk about that a little bit. Can I talk about where that came from? Just go ahead.
Let me start by saying I never ever thought that I would get more than maybe a couple thousand streams when I put that song out, and it was my first song as an artist releasing it independently. So I had no idea, and to see that, I think we're like close to 400,000 streams now in like a year and 10 months of release. So as a no-name artist, I mean, that was like insane to me. So even if it would have only been 2000, it's still, obviously, like you said, that song is pretty spot on for where I was at that time of my life. And still today, but definitely when I wrote it. I guess like to start off, like the main question I get asked a lot is like, how long did it take you to write that? Like, what's your writing process? And for me, I wrote that song in about 30 minutes. I think that for me, I've noticed that when I write songs that are more genuine and more authentic, more to the heart, that's kind of how it goes with me. And that's for some people, that's kind of like, that's BS, man. Like that's stupid. You can't come out and pop a song like that in 30 minutes. But for me, really, I had a harder time writing songs like generic, I wouldn't say generic, but I guess traditional pop country songs than I will writing a song like that. So I was guess it was, I started writing that song in 2015. And I was active duty military. I had just gotten back from a deployment, and I was living in a 3-bedroom house, renting with a buddy. We were starting college, and it was just me and him. And it was some of the greatest years of my life. Shout out to Hollis. But we were renting this house on this old farm, and it was just kind of me. It was a cool time of my life. But I was I had just gone through a pretty big breakup, which is obviously the second verse is about that. And I wouldn't say just gone through, but it was pretty fresh still. I hadn't started dating anything yet. And, I mean, I'll never forget it. I was sitting there. It was, I don't know what morning it was, but I was working at a construction job going to school. And, I had the line that, I had this like keen line in my head, like when I was a young boy and I used to play Army. That was like, and that's obviously the start of the song, but that line that was resonating with me, like throughout work, throughout the day, whatever I was doing, I kept like having that in my head, and I was like, I got to put that down. And so, when I was a kid, I grew up in, on a farm, North Carolina, in Yakin County, North Carolina. And, my dad's a preacher and a farmer, and I've got an older brother and an older sister. So I was the youngest of the bunch. And, growing up as kids, a lot of my day to day, like lifestyle, whatever, was outside playing in the woods. Like that's what we did. I mean, obviously there were like farm chores and stuff, but a lot of what I did was out in the woods playing Army. Like that's black and white. I mean, that's the youth pastor's kid, was my best friend, still is. And we grew up same age and same area. So we would dress up. We would literally go and get like these Goodwill camouflage clothes that have been passed down through God knows how many generations. And we play Army. We go out in the woods and build forts. That's what we did. Like to the point where my dad would like make me come and tear some down because I would build it like where we were going to be getting hay up, close to where we were getting hay up, like in one of the edges of the field, or he was going to put a fence in, and I had this like hut fort out there. So it was like, you know, it was kind of funny looking back on it. But yeah, so a lot of my childhood was just kind of a country kid who played Army a lot with his buddies. And so when I got into high school, my brother's 5 or 6 years older than me. I don't know. He won't care that I don't know. But when I was a senior in high school, my brother was in Afghanistan. That's when the Afghanistan campaign and kind of kicked off. And so I kind of like knew without a doubt, I'm joining the military. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. College maybe one day, but I'm going to go in the military, and that's going to be what I do. And my grandfathers, both on both sides, my one grandfather who was, I got to spend time with throughout his life. He passed away a couple years ago, but he was a World War II and Korean veteran. And then my other grandfather, who died before I was born, but he was also a World War II veteran as well. So the military thing was definitely in my lineage of family members. And so it was kind of one of those things that I wanted to carry on, wanted to have that pride and all that to go with it. So I joined the military. And so I guess to break down that part of the song too, like my brothers and my grandpas did, that's where that came from. My brother was actually serving at the time, and then both my grandfathers had served. My dad would have served if he had some unfortunate circumstances that came up and he couldn't. But anyway, so that's that part of the song. So I did serve a lot. I've been asked before. I've gotten DMs that are like, were you even in the military? And yeah, I was. I wouldn't have wrote that if I wasn't. But yeah, so to kind of fast forward and not keep me in line if I start getting crazy.
Hey, keep going, man. And this is so interesting to me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I was out of the military, living in this house. I did some National Guard time as well. That like my whole term was with the National Guard, but then we ended up getting activated and we were active duty Army for a couple of years, and that's when we deployed and did all that. So anyway, I got back from the deployment, and I'd been dating this girl on and off since probably freshman year of high school. I mean, we were typical high school relationship. We're back and forth. But, you know, when I was about to get deployed, I don't know how exactly she even found out. I think my dad, this is going to sound like backcountry redneck because it's going to get here, but my dad was going to get some tractor parts at the tractor company that her dad worked at. And I think that he told him I was deploying. So not to really get into all that because it doesn't matter, but that's how we got back together in kind of a very big part of my life. We got back together shortly before I was about to leave on this deployment. And so obviously with that, we talked about marriage a lot. I mean, we were dating and all that. And so, I did think at the time, I mean, and looking back, it's funny, it's so full circle. But looking back, I thought that was going to be the girl that I married. And so when I got out, you know, it was totally nothing on either party, but it just, I knew that wasn't the right one. And so I broke up with her, and it was tough. It was a really like big deal. I mean, cause families were close, and definitely that's tough when you get that tight. And even to talk about this right now, I kind of feel like an ass, cause I'm like, cause I mean, fast forward through that section of the song. But yeah, basically the whole, that part, the second verse, is where that came from. And when I wrote that song, it definitely was fresh at the time. It was very fresh. And so the reasoning that I included that was because I was in a stage of my life where I wasn't really sure. A, like, I have no problem saying, like, I didn't really know what my direction was. Like, a big thing when you get out of, I know at least that I've experienced with guys that are active duty or even reserve, doesn't matter. You come back from deployment, you kind of like, you feel lost. Like, your entire life for the past 2 years has been told, you're told what to do from when you go to the bathroom to when you eat to what you're doing every day. I mean, it's all planned out. So I came back and I was in this like really like lost area of my life, which is where the whole, the hook, I guess, learning to be the man that I am, started resonating. And so, like I said, I had no direction with the song. I started writing it, like I said, and it was about a 30-minute thing, but it was one of those just cool moments where at first it was kind of like all over the place. And then I started seeing how it could piece together. And so I think what I wanted to do with it was show that where I was at in that time of my life, I didn't have it all figured out. I didn't really know what I was going to do next. I didn't know much, but I knew that things that I'd heard in my youth and my younger years were starting to like pop back in my head. Like my sister, who, you know, always gave me crap for, everything, but you know, definitely when I would had girlfriends and stuff, I was, you know, I'd have one girlfriend for a couple months. Yeah, like any high school kid, you don't, I mean, you're not getting married when you're 15, so you know, you have girlfriends, but definitely like it was funny, like that was popping in my head, like Reckless Romantic, and then you just got a head, you're hard-headed, like that was probably anybody that knew me would say that, and definitely reckless and made a lot of mistakes. And and so the song was a kind of a twofold thing. It was a realization and a kind of like a open letter to my family. Like, hey, sorry for all the crap I put you through, but I'm just figuring it out. And thank you for how you raised me. But it was also a kind of an apology in a sense, like to this girl and her family and her father and mother, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I know I messed y'all's plans up. I know I messed your life up, kind of turned it upside down. You invested a lot in me, put a lot of time in me. And I kind of like threw a loop in the plans. So, yeah, it was a really, man, I am is just a big, open, nasty, like dirty letter of self-realization and a vulnerability. Like that's really what it was. And,
I think that's why, yeah. why it did. And it's continuing to do so well because
yeah,
you're just super open. Like you're kind of just, in a way, I mean, not in a negative way, but you're throwing yourselves to the wolves. Like you're just showing everyone, you know what I mean? Like you're just.
And let me tell you, there were some wolves and some feedback when I first put that out. It was like, man, you just blasted this. I'm like, not in blaster. I just like, you know, to the generic listener. But yeah. When you're up in a really small town, everybody knows exactly who you're talking about.
Right.
And so that was a tough part at first, because a lot of my fan base was my hometown. And I didn't want it to be a bad thing, because it wasn't. You know, we're all adults now. I mean, she's off and married and happy for her, and I'm happily in a relationship. And so look at now on the stage where it is starting to kind of blow up and people are asking me, man, it's kind of funny. Like, I mean, every couple months somebody will be like, you know, whatever happened to that, and what are you doing now? Like, it is a bit awkward, but at the same time, it's not, because it's just life. Like, you can't change where you're at. And I think that's why the song did so well, because I think, like you said, it was very open and vulnerable. But even from a parenting standpoint, I've had parents holler at me and say, like, that's my kid right now. Like, that's him. And you were him, and that's him right now. And your song's a bit, I hope, maybe it's a strike of hope that he'll come around full circle.
Yeah, right. I mean, even me, like I can even relate to it in a certain aspect when it comes to like, I was in a pretty decent relationship for almost 2 years or so. And, you know, it ended kind of poorly, and, you know, that's kind of life. And you kind of move on. I was kind of in a similar situation. You, families were close, you know, I,
Sure.
We were all close, and you know, one thing led to another. It just didn't work out, and you know, that's life, right? Like, that's gonna happen. I mean, I'm young. You're young like that. Like, you know, that's just kind of how it is. But right. You know, I never. First of all, thank you for your service. That's always something.
And I don't plug that. So I put it out there. I don't plug it for thanks, but I do appreciate it.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, you never do. But at the same time, you know, I think in a world where it's kind of messy right now, I think it's kind of important.
Today, man, there's a lot of distractions.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of important to recognize
all those overseas that are over there getting blown up still, and you don't hear about it because of a lot of other things. But anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, so for me, the military is not a part of my life that you know I went through, or you know I don't even know a crazy amount of people that you know served. I mean, I know that my cousin's grandpa, not my cousin's other side of family, grandpa, you know, he rushed the beaches of he was in D-Day, like that was.
Wow.
And he passed away a few years ago, but I'll tell you this, you know, he had some crazy stories of when I was growing up, they would tell me. I mean, we went through his stuff, and then this is not, because so he passed away, I don't know, I think it was like, he passed away around like 93, I think he was, and it was a few years back, and we went through, or my uncle went through his stuff, and like he found the craziest things, like things that he would send to my uncle's mother, like they were together at the time, and some unbelievable things, like a belt buckle, a bayonet was in there. Like it was like some crazy stuff. You know what I mean?
You couldn't do that now. You'd get probably arrested.
Yeah. So it was, it was pretty nuts. And I mean, you know, I've talked to, a couple of people, Cody Bradley, he is on his way out of the military right now. You know, he's served, he's done his time, and he's kind of, you know, transitioning out. And you know, I told him, I grew up at, I have season tickets, and I've grown up pretty much at West Point in New York, the military academy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Very prestigious.
Yeah, I would go and see football games there every Saturday. You know, that was kind of like my second home, still kind of is. And so you'd be there. I mean, I'm a diehard Army fan, so that's pretty cool. But
yeah, right team.
Yeah, right. Go Army, beat Navy. But so like, you know, I understand that whole thing. And a part of me growing up kind of always wanted to, kind of always wanted to be in the military. There's other reasons why I'm not. And, you know, that's a different story for a different day. But I mean, you know, there are certain things that I could resonate. In that song alone, there are some incredible lines and some lines that anyone can relate to. Like, time is a strange thing. My brain rearranged the plans that I had for my life, right? Like, I don't care what you're doing. Like, you could be, you know, you can be in college, or you can like be out just working or do whatever. And that can happen. Life does crazy curves, and that line is an incredible line because it's true.
Thanks, man. It's so cool to see the lines that I would have thought would have resonated for people that have, like that one especially. And I think that's what's cool, because I will say that I kind of thought that I might have screwed myself with my first release being such a personal song, because there was a part of me that was like, man, only like I can relate to this, but only like a handful of people could relate line for line. But then I realized, I was like, well, that's not true at all, because I mean, there's plenty of people that can relate to that. And I think that's what's the beauty of songwriting, is that things that you might not realize when you're writing it are gonna impact somebody the way it does.
Yeah.
But it can. And a line like that, for sure. I mean, that's what I've learned to realize, that man, you don't have to be in the military. You don't have to have been through a crazy breakup. You don't have to have anything. Really, if you're just a human in life and you don't have it all figured out, it can hit home for you, which has been really cool to see. But that's cool.
That's a thing that I've noticed, you know. I think that's a reason why I love songwriting, why I love country music, and in particular because of that, is that, you know, dude, like, I didn't grow up on a farm. Like, I'd say this all the time. I live in the suburbs of New Jersey. I don't live very far from New York City, about a half hour.
Herbs now, which is what's so funny about it.
Yeah, so like, but I can't I can't relate to some things that you can relate to, and that's true. But I can change it in a certain way. So like, I live in my town is, it's a mile and a half. Like, it's not, it's small. Yeah, like, there's, I mean, like, it's just not big. But like, so like, there are certain things that I can relate to that. I mean, I can kind of change them so that it makes sense, right? So. And I think that's the kind of the power of songwriting, and also why I wish more people, especially in my area, would give country music more of a shot. that's a big thing too, is I think that, you know, if you, especially with a song, songs like yours, and, you know, a lot of your songs are, I mean, your first three are pretty personal, are, in my opinion, you know, they're songs that where you're just telling a straight story. So,
yeah, that's the goal. And that's why I've struggled. I mean, I haven't released anything in almost, coming close to a year, which is not happy about that. I've got a handful of things. I just haven't decided how I want to release or what I want to release. And so thankfully we're going to release some stuff by the end of the year, probably do like a 3-song release. But, I had the struggle of like, do I go generic? You know, you've got, and I don't mean the generic in a bad way. I just mean, can you turn your radio on and relate to this? Or do you want to go more the route where it is more of a man I am feel? Mm-hmm. And I've come to the conclusion that, you know, I'd rather tell a story than sell a number one single. And so that's okay. I mean, I don't ever have to be a huge thing. Cause I've seen the impact that I know what those type of songs that they do for me. So if I can write a song that will do that for somebody else, that's cool with me. So yeah.
See, I respect that because, I mean, that's a genuine thing that they are coming from. I mean, listen, everyone wants to write a song that goes on the radio. That's, I mean,
of course, yeah.
Who doesn't?
Make some money.
Exactly. Like, who doesn't want that? I mean, if anyone looks at you and says, we don't care about that, I mean, they're lying. But
no, they're completely lying.
But I mean, at the same time, there's, you can tell, like, who's writing because they're truly passionate about it. And you can tell who's writing because they know that the radio might catch it. Like, that's true.
Yep. So, man, that's so spot on. Cause I could not agree with that more.
Yeah. And that's not a good, like a bad thing. Like if that's
what you're doing, go for it.
But
yeah, the struggle that I've found as an artist, with the connections I've been able to make, and I go to Nashville a good bit. Well, I've been lately. I don't want to get on here and say I go to Nashville all the time, but I don't live too far from Nashville, so it's there. And we go, and I've had some pretty cool writes with some bigger names. But I found that I'm sitting there and I'm writing this 4-chord repetitive seven. There's a joke. What is it? 7-11 dream. Like it's just the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And it's like well, let's find a different way to write the same song 100 times. And I don't want to necessarily do that. I'm not knocking people that do. I would even go as far to say that maybe the last one that I wrote is, you know, it was personal for me, but it wasn't, it can be very, somebody could look at that and say, that's a generic song. So, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just user preference with anything. User preference. I mean, you don't have to listen to it. It's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the big thing here is like, don't hate on it just because you don't like it. I mean, God knows there's so many songs that I open up and that, I have friends that obviously listen to country music, and for the most part, that's more, you know, of a mainstream thing where they're, you know, kind of listening to what's on the radio. And of course I listen to that stuff too. Right. Yeah. But I mean, everyone does, but I mean, and there are things that I stumble across that I say, man, I just don't like this. I just don't like it. But then, and my friends would be like, why? And I'll be like, it's just not my thing. Like I'm a sucker for a slow, sad song. I really am. But I'm sucker for a party jam too. So like, I have somewhere coming from each ways, but.
Bro, are you, let me ask you this. Just cause you said that I want to put you on to somebody. If you haven't heard of him, have you heard of Zach Bryan?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was going to say, cause he sounds like he loves Zach Bryan. I actually met him like 2 months ago and I was like, where the heck's this guy been?
You know what?
Got like 600,000 monthly listeners. So I just think that I don't know how I've missed him, but.
He's in the military too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was Marines. You should get him. And then tell him and ask him to want to get a write with me.
I'll tell you this. I've sent him a message. As of the last like 2 weeks, I've sent him a message. And I've actually talked about him on here with another buddy of mine. But I think one of my favorite, and I also will say that I think when it comes to vocal composition, you guys are kind of in
a similar. Yeah, well, so I'll tell you. I got that before. That's how I looked him up. Somebody was like, you sound like Zach Bryan. And I was like, who's Zach Bryan? By default, I said Zach Bryan. And I was like, you're drunk. Because it was after a show. It was that we played a bar. And this guy was like, have you ever heard of Zach Bryan? And I was like, nah. And then I ended up like thinking about the later that week. And I listened to it. Usually I get a lot of like Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind that at all. I mean, honestly, it's a compliment.
Yeah.
It's just that when I play like acoustic sets at like these little dive bars, it's like, everybody, I mean, can you play Tyler Childers' entire Live Barn Red Album? I'm like, yeah, I could do that, but I don't want to be the
I'm Tyler not going to, yeah.
Yeah, like, I got mad respect for Tyler Childers. One of the best live concerts I've seen in
Have you seen him?
In my life, yeah.
He doesn't come to my area. I can't get there. I gotta See, that's why I'm telling you. There's so many people I'd love to see, and I gotta get out of here. Like,
price of living, I guarantee you, is half of what it is in New Jersey.
Oh my God, yeah.
I would think anyway. Because I remember the station there just buying a pack of smokes was like $9.25.
Yeah, it's
I don't know if cigarettes are a good correlation to what rent would be, but I think that that here in the Carolinas, the East Coast, we were a little cheaper to live. But
everything's a little bit more expensive, especially, you know, where I am. And I'll tell you, my parents always say this, you know, it's funny because I just told you that I was recording a couple episodes today, and a guy I talked to earlier literally said, he literally grew up a town or two away from me, and he lives in Nashville. Matt Roy, he's got a number one with Chris Jansen. He wrote Done.
Yeah,
he's got a Kane Brown cut, a Chris Young cut, that new Chris Young song. Why am I blanking on it? It's like one of my jams right now. But anyway, that's him.
Have a cool Young story.
I'm interested in it. But I will tell you this: he grew up about 5 minutes down the highway from me, and so it's kind of cool to talk to him. But I will say this: is that yes, my parents always said growing up. My parents grew up where, like, in my county, not in my town, but they grew up. My mom grew up literally 2 minutes down from the street from my house. My dad grew up a couple towns over, and they always say, don't live in Bergen County, move out, because it's too expensive and you can't survive. So that's why, you know, we were talking about earlier, you know, I'm thinking about getting out. But yes, Chris Young story. I think I may know a little bit of a piece of it, but I want to hear the whole thing. So go for it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So my cousin is actually in a band called Love and Theft.
That's your one. No way.
Yeah. Steven is my, so this is a funny story. We could be here for 2 hours just trying to explain this, but Steven is, so my mom and Steven's mom were like sisters. Basically my grandparents took in his mom when they were younger. They basically adopted her. She had just kind of a bad home life. And so they adopted her when she was probably early teens. So it's my mom and Steven's mom grew up together. And so when we grew up as kids, we always thought that we were first cousins because they would call my mom, you know, Aunt Celeste, and I'd call their mom Aunt Susie. And they would refer to my grandpa as their grandpa, you know. And so it was probably like I was in my teens before I realized, like, we're not first cousins. We're actually third cousins because his mom would be my – no, I said that backwards, second cousin. Anyway, we're cousins. So – but we always had that like kind of first cousin relationship. Every summer we'd flip flop from Florida to North Carolina. So it was really cool. I got to kind of see him firsthand go from this kid in Florida working at, I don't know his whole story. I don't want to get it wrong if he listens, but I know that he was working at a grocery store of some sort.
If he lived, I'd love to have you guys, by the way.
I'll text him after we get off. Yeah. We're going and hanging next week. He's playing in Greensboro. So I'm going to go hang out, but yeah. And he'd be happy to do it. So long story short, that's we're cousins, and we're pretty close. Like we talk, we FaceTime a pretty regular basis, and I've done some show, I've opened up for them on some shows, and just hung out, vice versa. So to full circle that, I've actually moved to Nashville for a little while, for about 4 months, 5 months maybe, and I was on like a temporary kind of like a sponsored deal. These guys were interested in recording some songs, and I was so green to the scene. I mean, I would not, those four songs that we cut, they were really good. And I was doing it with my buddy Brad. And then that's a whole nother crazy story. But long story short, knowing Steven, and he's pretty relevant in the scene down there. We were hanging out with Love and Theft all the time. And we go out to bars and venues and sit-ins. And I got to meet all these people that I've been listening to on the radio for years. And I was like, holy, like, here I am hanging out with Chris Young. So we played the Tin Roof Nashville. Me and my buddy Brad did, and I remember we got off stage. Like Tin Roof's really cool. I don't know if you follow their page or not. Check out Tin Roof Level. Yeah. It's like a pretty much a church pew, and you sit there and you play a few songs. And then
I've had Rob on before.
Oh, you've had Rob Snyder? Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And Vinny Palizzi. I don't know if you know him. He's this week.
Dude, love Big Rob's. Yeah, so Rob's the one that allowed us to play it. So anyway. So we were hanging out with Rob and Steven afterward, and I mean, dude, I'm in Nashville. I'm 20. 2 years old. Like, I'm living a dream. So I've been, after we played, I've been enjoying myself pretty good. And I remember sitting at the bar I was going to get another beer, and this like 6'3" guy's beside me. And he's like, "Hey man, you guys sounded really good. You want to take a fireball shot?" And I was like, "Sure, dude. Like, of course I'll take a fireball shot. I mean, anybody wants to buy a shot." I was like, "I don't care, whatever." And my buddy Brad was beside me, and he's looking at me like a deer in headlights, like, dude. And I was like, "What?" He's like, "That's Chris Young." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I looked up and I was like, "Oh," I was like, "What's up, Chris?" And he's like, "Hey, man." He's like, "How's it going?" And I was like, "Good." And so sat there at the bar in Nashville. I've been there for like 2 weeks and took shots with Chris Young and just hung out. Dude, it was like the wildest thing. I just couldn't. But props to Chris Young. He's like one of the most down-to-earth, like, genuine. I mean, he doesn't want the attention. I mean, even that he had to leave early because people kind of figured out. Like, he had on a butt. He had his hat pulled down. He wouldn't want to be noticed. He was wanting to just come hear music like anybody else. So it was really cool that he really inspired me that night. It meant the world to me that this guy who's sold tons of number ones and, I mean, the Opry, everything else, played all these amazing venues, buys me a drink and sits there and generally has conversation for 30-something. And I didn't even recognize him at first, which I felt really stupid. And that same night, Cole Swindell walked into, and anyway, it was just cool. It was cool to, like, be in that scene and just hang out. And so that's my Chris Young story. That's my token Chris Young. That was cool. But yeah,
I will tell you that I knew that there was something going on. I didn't know the whole story. I just knew that you had a story of some sort there.
Yeah.
But that is so cool. He's one of those guys that I don't know if you. I do this a lot. Like I said, I'm a music geek, but I love looking at covers. That's like that's like a way for me to, like, hear other people's voices, see how they sound on different songs. And I have a shitload of music on my phone. Like, I'm talking like half my phone. I have not now because I got a bigger phone. But when I had like 128 gig phone, half of it, 50% of that phone was just music. So I have just a lot of music. And yeah. I will tell you that Chris Young playing the Opry, playing Don't Close Your Eyes, Keith Whitley, is one of my favorite videos to watch. His voice, his tone is just unmatched.
Oh man, he is definitely in a league of his own.
Oh my god.
And I'm waiting for him to put out some more stuff. I'm hoping that he's grinding during this pandemic. But that's very cool though. Yeah, really cool.
That's nuts. So my question for you is then, I'll say this. Who'd you grow up listening to? And, like, who do you listen to now to, like, try and, like, you know, broaden your sound or, like, kind of, you know, mess with different things? Because obviously, you know, Childish is there and maybe Zach Bryan. But, like, who else, like, did you, like, grow up listening to or listen to now where you can, like, you know, develop that sound, make it grow, change a little bit, you know?
Yeah, growing up, so being a preacher's kid, man, I was K-Love all the way. That's all my mom had on the radio. But growing up, my dad would – on Sunday nights, we would, if we went and got, you know, dinner after church somewhere, 98.1, I think it was WFM something, I don't know. Anyway, it was bluegrass radio. So I grew up listening to a lot of bluegrass, a lot of, like, the greats. I mean, you know, Doc Watson and all the, like, you know, I mean, God, pretty much any Marty Stewart. I mean, just all the great bluegrass people you could think of, that's who they played, and that's what I grew up listening to. Obviously Ralph Stanley, aged like fine wine. I mean, that guy got better the older he got. And so I grew up a lot with that kind of stuff. So, I mean, even as a kid, me and my buddies, we were like, we're going to be in a bluegrass band when we get older. But then into high school, I got into like more of that, honky tonk, you know, Alan Jackson and Keith Whitley and you know, all the great honky tonk artists you can think of. That's where, like, that was what I was listening to. And then it was funny. Like, I also had a ton of other phases where I'd be listening to screamo, like, yeah, I don't even know if I should say this on here, but, like, I mean, I was in the God, what was that one band that everybody Secondhand Serenade? That's not not a screamo band by any means, but vocally, I can remember that I first learned harmonies. I thought, at least that's when I first started experimenting with harmonies, was listening to Secondhand Serenade in like eighth grade after some girl broke up with me. You know, like, that's when I first started, like, finding that, okay, I can sing a little bit. And at least I think I can. And then And then I started leading in church and worship group and all that stuff. But definitely, I mean, I always came back. I was always a country guy. And I would say, you know, definitely the older generation of country was definitely where I, like, George Jones. I mean, that's such a generic answer. It really is. But George Jones and those guys, I mean, Hank Williams Sr. I loved Hank Williams Sr. And his songwriting is, yeah, it's amazing. And it's also super depressing. But once I started really playing music, to really answer the full question, when I got into, like, my own songwriting and stuff, I started listening to guys like, you know, Charlie Crockett. Obviously, some of your mainstream, obviously, I mean, I got to credit Love and Theft, because not only did I see my cousin living out his dream, but they wrote some killer songs. And they were great. I mean, I saw them live more than I could count. So I got to see them singing songs they'd written, and I loved it. But probably in the last 2 years, man, it's Colton Moore and the Clever Few, I think it is. Love those dudes. Love Sturgill Simpson. I definitely have, I mean, obviously I got to say Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan, yeah. But Jason Isbell in the 400 unit, that was finding a drug. Like, when I came onto that, I thought, I mean, I've never been into drugs, but if I had been, that had to be like that serotonin that you feel, or ill is the right word. And like American Aquarium, like, I went and saw American.
Oh, yeah. I just kind of got into them. Yeah, that's super
BJ
cool.
For him, I got to see him a few times acoustic in Asheville, and just captivating from start to finish. John Moreland. I mean, just a ton of, like, bands that it's such a cool feeling to, like, feel like you discovered a band when really you didn't. Everybody's been listening to them, but you think you did. The Avett Brothers, I mean, those type of groups, like, the Avett Brothers have been, they grew up like 2 hours down the road from where I did. So cool. I saw them all the time growing up at Merlefest. And so it was cool to full circles listen to them and still do today. So yeah, I mean, that would probably be, and now I'm not gonna lie, man, I love Riley Green. I love,
I mean, who doesn't? Are you excited for tonight?
Oh,
come on, his EP comes out tonight. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
I'll text you about it. Cause I want to talk about it.
Yeah, please do. Colby Cooper. Love that dude. I love Morgan Wallen. I won't lie to anybody. Morgan Wallen found his marketing pitch and he's running with it. Like the cutoff.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about Morgan Wallen is I saw Morgan Wallen for the first, okay, I've seen him 4 times. Kind of not on purpose, but also I'll explain. So the first time I saw him, I went to a Luke Bryan concert, right? And this was
knock you for that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, man.
Hey, I understand.
Nothing against Luke Bryan and Luke Bryan's.
Nothing against Luke Bryan. I mean, his first record's pretty good. It kind of, you know, that's a whole other conversation. You know, I know I got some Luke Bryan fans that listen, a couple of my friends, so I'm not going to grind their gears too much. But listen, I love Luke Bryan. Like, I love his first record and stuff, and I have nothing against
him. He's got some good stuff now.
He does. Right. But I saw Morgan Wallen opened for him when If I Know Me, that first record that he put out, came out.
Oh my god.
So pre-mullet Morgan Wallen, right?
Yeah. And voice of Morgan Wallen.
Oh yeah. So I sat there in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with my friend Drew. My brother Keith, I'm a twin brother, so my brother and my buddy Adam, right? And we sat there, and Adam and Keith, my backstory, didn't always listen to country music, got my brother into country music. He was kind of into Luke Bryan at that time. It was like our freshman year of college. Like, we were kind of, he was kind of new to the scene. So he listened to Luke Bryan, obviously. And Adam liked Luke Bryan. Drew really liked Luke Bryan. So that's kind of why we went. So, but I was really excited for Morgan Wallen because I knew that he just dropped that record. And I knew not that many people knew about him. No one was singing along except for me. Like, not that many people knew about
it. That's
him.
Awesome. And we're That's sitting a good there. Feeling, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know the words. Yeah.
So it's crazy because.
And nobody else, though.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy because we're sitting there, and Drew goes, Kyle, who is this guy? I said, he's Morgan Wallen. He's got a new record out. Just listen to it, please. And he goes, I like him. So that happened, right? And then I saw him again. Did I see him 3 times? Maybe 3 times. I lied. But then I saw him again. And it was in November. So I went to before kind of COVID hit, I went to school in Connecticut, right? So before COVID kind of hit, I got into some pretty, I, and you know, I, I intern at a radio station at iHeart in Connecticut. So I've seen some pretty cool, like I've met Eli Young Band, you know, I've hung out with them for a little bit.
Oh,
there are some cool things that I've done. So in that small amount of time between September when I moved into school and March when I got sent home for good, I went to Luke Combs in Mohegan Sun, Connecticut, which Morgan Wallen opened, right? Incredible show. Great show. I was like, man, yeah, even better than the first time I saw him. And then gets better, because then in February, my cousin goes to UT, goes to University of Tennessee. And I flew to Knoxville, right? It was just like a weekend. It was really spontaneous. I bought like a $100 flight like the week I was going. And it was like this crappy flight. And I hop on this plane and I fly to UT. And I skipped, well, I don't even think I had class. I had like no class Thursday, Friday. So I just hopped on a plane, went to UT. And then our plan was to, I was supposed to hang out with him, and we got tickets to go see, let me make sure I get this right. Riley Green, Morgan Wallen, Jason Aldean. Same show.
Jason Aldean, by the way.
Oh my God, dude. Listen, I didn't know how big of a Jason Aldean fan I was until like a couple years after I started listening to country, because I'm really into rock country and that's like kind of my thing. And I just love Jason Aldean, like B-side Aldean.
Hey, Coe Wetzel.
Oh, Coe, like, come on, man.
Jesus.
Like, it's just crazy. So basically, what I'm getting at here is I got to hang out with Morgan Wallen before the show for a little bit. Off recording, I'll tell you some other stuff. But I got to hang out with him before the show for a bit. And I, you know, I have a decent head of lettuce going on over here. But at that point, it was like to my neck, and it was like really like baseball-y flow, right? So my cousin and all his friends were like, you should ask Morgan, because we knew we were going to see him. You should ask Morgan if you should get a mullet. And I was like, oh, man, all my friends back home would kill me if I walked back with a mullet. But you know what? Fuck it, right? So we're standing there.
Yeah,
I have this video. Once we stop the recording, I'll show it to you so that the sound doesn't get all messed up. But
yeah,
I asked him, and he goes, you kind of got something going on right now. And then he was like, actually, you should do it. And I said, I'm going to do it tonight. And he said, don't do it tonight, right? And then I was like, screw it, I'm doing it tonight. Yeah. I had to get on the flight the next day at like 5 in the morning. I had to leave my cousin's dorm. So we didn't get back until like 2 a.m. And then they woke me up at 3:30 in the morning with clippers in their hands. And they said, let's do it. So we cut it.
Dude, those are some good friends.
Yeah. I mean.
Or they're not. I don't know.
Listen, I'll tell you this, that I went to the airport and I was so tired that the first thing I did at probably 6 in the morning was go to the bar, get a drink or two, and make sure I fell asleep on that plane, right?
Keep on going.
Just keep on keeping on, this way I put it. That's my kind of crazy Morgan Wallen story. And
that's way better than my Chris Young story.
I mean, listen.
No, that's awesome.
I put that video on TikTok. Let's just say it went viral. I have a lot of followers now.
Heck yeah, dude. But, I gotta get on the TikTok game.
Honestly, dude, get on TikTok game only because it's just kind of funny to post like stupid shit. Like
of course it is, man.
It's just kind of a time.
I know how much I watch TikTok on my lunch break, so why would I not, you know?
Also, you should take advantage of the whole like playing your music on there, because I guarantee you that you know, it would do well.
Yeah, my friend, my buddy that plays in a band, Connor Sweeney, he's had some really good success with that. And he's gotten some good hits off of that. But anyway,
give it a go. I mean, it's kind of cool. So that's so awesome that like you have so many different influences when it comes to like. And I know we just went on a crazy tangent, but we're kind of getting back on the
I feel like we're bad for each other, because earlier you were like, I can rant.
But that's how I know that we'd be good friends. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Us Southerners, right? That's what we do. We just talk.
You just got to talk. And, you know, I like to say that I'm a Southerner at heart, because I just like to talk.
You are, man. You fit in great here.
So that's what my brother tells me all the time. He goes, because I can't lie to you, I have a pair of cowboy boots, and they're pretty out there looking cowboy boot. They were a gift from a guy I met in radio, and I wear them around here. And
rock them, bro.
He looked at me one day, and he goes, "They're like pointed toe, and they have like a bowl on the toe. They're kind of dope."
That's good, yeah.
And
that sounds dope.
They are, and he was kind of like, "You need to get out of here. You don't fit in." I said, "I'm done. I'm out." So, you know, that's kind of funny, but yeah, like all the influences there are pretty cool. And like I told you, you know, I didn't grow up listening to country music. I didn't start listening to country music until I was probably 16. So, but I will tell you that it's basically consumed my life, which is fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's so wild how music can do that. Cause it can easily I bet I listen to music 65% of my day.
Me too.
And the only reason I don't do it the rest is because I'm working or I'm, you know,
Yeah.
I mean,
so let me ask you, what is that job that you do? Because I see you ride around on boats, quads.
Yeah, man, I get that a lot. People think I don't work and I just go out on a boat all the time. No, I actually work for a water company in South Carolina. It's called Greenville Water. It's the main water source for the state of South Carolina. And so we have two major lakes. We have Table Rock Lake. If you look up Table Rock State Park, like, it's a really well-known state park. And then we have North Slough Lake Reservoir. So I walked into this job sheer luck. It's a blue collar 7-to-4 job, but literally my job consists of, it's like me and four other dudes. And we're on this, like, we're in this little shop on top of a mountain. And we just, we maintain about 15,000 acres of woodland and lakes, streams, rivers. So a lot of our job is obviously making sure that the water, we check a lot of water. And like, I'm not like a math guy or science guy, but we send stuff down to the lab so they make sure everything's good. But a lot of our job is just maintaining the lake. And with that comes, obviously, on a boat a lot. We get a lot of trees out of the lake. But the coolest part of the job, and you're probably, you'll see some of this when it starts getting colder, but we trap wild feral hogs.
Okay.
Yeah, and we kill them. So, because wild hogs are rampant in the East Coast area. I mean, I'm not going to speak for all the East Coast, but South Carolina especially.
And they're super dangerous too, right?
Yeah, they're super dangerous. They carry like 35 active diseases. So naturally, you don't want that in your water, your drinking water. And so a big part of our job, and we probably got like 9 or 10 traps. And we trap hogs, kill them. And we don't just throw them in the woods. We skin them out and send the meat off. And we give the meat away, donate it, or we keep it for ourselves. But yeah, it's just a water cutting job. It's perfect for me. It allows me to have my weekends and still do music. And then there's a lot of like time off that I can get off and do a 4-day run somewhere or whatever. Yeah. But it's also the kind of job that you come to work and you're not like mad about it. You know, I've had
just
crappy jobs, but this one's like, it's one of the jobs where it's the only job I've ever had, actually, where it's just like, I'm not mad about going to work tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be, you know, we're going to be doing some pretty, you know, even if we just ride around on four wheelers all day, checking the property lines, it's still going to be fun because you're riding around on a four wheeler. I mean, like,
so, yo, yeah, retweet, brother, retweet.
People DM me, they're like, what do you do? Like, are you just at the lake all the time? I'm like, no, I mean, I'm not out here drinking beer and jumping in, but yeah, so it's cool.
I love being on the water. Yeah. I love lakes. My buddy's a lake house in upstate New York, like middle of nowhere, you know.
Yeah.
Up in the
States. My girlfriend's family has a lake house and we go there a good bit, and it's cool. We actually just sold it, but when they did have it, we went a lot, and I could stay out there for a week at a time. Dude.
Like, he went on family vacation back in mid or early August, and you know, here in Jersey, the whole COVID thing was kind of a really bad deal for a while. Like, really, really
bad. Yeah, once here too. We're slacking off, I think. I think we're doing a lot better.
Yeah, we started to do a lot better. And, you know, I'm a diabetic, so I got to kind of be careful. But
oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So I was kind of cooped up in my house, and he was like, man, like, we're going to the lake house for an entire week. It's me and my family. Come with us. And I was like, if you stay home for like 2 weeks and make sure you're set, I'll go. So I went. I stayed there for pretty much the whole week. I left on a Saturday, but I was like, man, I could stay here, sit on the dock, take the canoe out. And like, my friends love to fish, right? And I like to fish too, but I like to consider myself the designated boat rower, or the guy who like steers the boat, because they have pontoon boat as well. So yeah, I'll be like, sure. If I was like, if I could take the boat out at 8 a.m., sit here with a beer while you guys fish, I'm set. Like, I'll do that every single day.
You're the DBD, man. You're the designated boat driver.
Exactly. And I'm okay with that. I mean, like I said, I love anything with the motor.
Best job.
See, exactly. And I that's why I think your job looks so much fun. I think I would love to do it, because like you said, I mean, even if you sit around and ride around on a damn four-wheeler all day, that's what you're doing.
It's not a bad day, yeah. I mean, there's definitely some stupid stuff we have to do that sucks and, like, physically demanding, but for the most part, it's pretty cake job. It's awesome. Yeah. I would highly recommend it. I mean, but the problem is, they're not, you know, most of the guys that get hired on, they retire, because why would you quit?
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to quit my day job and just do music, but it's going to be, if that time ever happens, it's going to be one of those things where, like, a lot of people that hit it, even if they don't hit it big, they just get to where they can tour and make a living. They're happy to get off of that. I'm going to be like, man, I miss, like, my job right now. This 8-hour drive to freaking Texas is about to suck, because I'd really be on the lake right now, you know. But,
yeah. Nah, I mean, it looks so much fun. So it was kind of, I had to ask. Oh, also, I'm supposed to ask you this. So you have a song called Marler Road. And I was sitting with my buddy Drew last night, and he looked at me and said, "Can you please just ask James if Marler Road is an actual road?" And I think I said that it is, and that is.
Tell Drew to watch the music video.
That's what I told him. I said, I'm pretty sure the music video is literally on Marler Road.
It was filmed on Marler Road.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
So earlier, when I was telling you about my best friend that we were not the one that we. I mean, I guess me and him probably. I'm sure we played Army too, but the guy that we were like, we're gonna be in a bluegrass band together. He lived on Marler Road, and his parents, they own a big farm too, which is just typically like the story around where the people could pretty much like every Sunday afternoon, that's where I was at. And then when we got older, we all got, you know, getting into trouble, 15 through whatever, 21, whatever. But we, Marler Road, there was a place that we would pull off, and it was on his like grandpa's property, I think, or somewhere. But that's where we'd have bonfires and just kick it. And it was like, that was legit where everybody would come out and hang out. And Marler Road is a real place. It's a lot of fun. If you're ever on Marler Road, hit me up. I'll take you out to the spot. But definitely a real place. Yeah, watch the video. That video is really cool because we had a live show there in a venue that was kind of close to where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And so we shot the music video at my buddy's house who lives off Marler Road. And then we like shot it on Marler Road, obviously. And then we just spent the whole day with the camera crew. And then the camera crew came to the show. And like all my hometown friends were there, you know.
It's a big party.
Just party, man. That's what it was about. Yeah, we're actually playing our second annual. We call it the Jam at the Dam because it's at this old dam. But, Marler Road's a real place. It's fun.
Awesome.
See, it's so funny going home because, like, I'll have these, like, high school kids that I don't even know. I knew their brother. They're like, "You're the Marler Road guy." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's me, yeah." Like, yeah, man, like, we go out there. I'm like, "Yeah, that's cool." So, yeah, it's a real place.
That's so cool. That's awesome. I think, hey, Drew, I know that if you don't listen to any of the other ones, which, you know, I hope you do support, but I know you're going to listen to this one. So I'm going to say at the end, if you made it this far into the, what's going to end up being a 50 minute episode.
Yeah. You just don't want to shut up on whatever.
No, this is great. This is great. But I will say that, Drew, we should take a road trip to Marler Road and just, let's do it. That'd be cool.
That'd be so wild.
Imagine two good old boys from Jersey just taking a trip down.
Dude, you'd probably be in a little bit of culture shock, but it'd be a good culture shock.
Hey, I'm like, okay with that.
It'd be good. You'd be like, listen, man, you move here next week.
adapt and change. That's how I see it.
Wear your boots and you'll be good. You don't have to wear your boots. Nobody cares.
I'll go in there with my boots and you know, actually, I have a belt buckle too somewhere in my room, so I could just.
There you go, man.
I'm set. Though they won't even know.
No, they won't have a clue. They're one of the guys is coming out.
One of the boys, right?
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
James, man, thanks for coming to hang out with me, dude. This is
absolutely man. Fun. I had a, super honored that you had me on, man.
Hey, listen. You're awesome. I would. There's
Thank
no
you.
Other. If I didn't think so, you know, I wouldn't have you on. Trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Well, I would say, man, it's truly. It was an honor to be asked. I mean, especially like I'm asked to be. I'd go on any podcast. That's awesome to be asked. But when I saw who you had on, I was like, damn. Like this guy's not playing around. He's had some big names on here. So I was even fuller to be on there. And I'd be. I mean, man, thanks so much for chatting and. I hope I gave you some insight to behind the music a little bit.
Hey, you did. And trust me, this one's going to be a fun one to edit because I like going back, especially when I'm laughing a lot and we're having good conversation.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to, you know, sometimes you think about it like an hour episode takes, you know, a good couple of hours to edit because you got to kind of go through and, you know, take out a little nitpicks. But when you're laughing, it goes by pretty fast. So
I'm excited
to edit this one. But man, thanks so much for coming to hang out. You want to shout out your socials just so you know anyone can go follow you?
Yeah, man, follow me at Instagram and Facebook. It's all James Tucker Music, all one word. I'm on obviously Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find your music at, and that's just James Tucker. And then we have a website as well. You can keep up with tour dates and stuff, but. Obviously with the pandemic right now, it's been a little tough, but honestly, if you follow the Instagram, you're going to catch anything. And then please follow the Spotify. I think yesterday I looked and we had like 600 followers on Spotify, not streams, but just followers alone. So that was cool. So just James Tucker all around, man. You'll be able to find pretty much everything there.
Awesome. Hey guys, go listen to his music. I vouch for artists all the time. This one is, this dude right here is one that, you know, is one that I see, you know, sky's the limit and, you know, he's going to go far. So please go listen to him. I think you'll be inspired. So, just, you know, go stream his music, go follow him on Instagram, go support him. Do all the good things, honestly. That's what the song about. Do all the good things. Keep on keeping on. This is another episode of Remember Country Music RCM Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode just like I did. And please, please follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. You can get all updates on any episodes. And I'm working hard on the content, so go give it a follow. Go show it some love. And yeah, that was another episode of RCM Podcast. And I'll see you next week.